Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine, and I am broadcasting from my bed because I have the flu. It's not fun. For any of you out there that have had it or are suffering from it, my sympathies go out to you. This has been the very worst I have ever experienced. I don't believe in the flu shot, or let's just say I never believed in the flu shot, but I'm telling you, I will never do this again. So from here on out, I will be getting the flu shot, and I recommend that you give it a thought. So anyway, I've been down for several days, and it is just very, very frustrating. But anyway, I'm here for you guys today because it's just important that I connect with you at least on a monthly basis. I know that you look forward to hearing what I have to say, and hopefully I will be as inspirational today as I usually am, but I'll have to dig really deep to get there. So anyway, today is Free Advice Friday, and it's the day that I take your calls and answer your questions about narcissistic abuse, your issues, your comments, your successes, anything that you have experienced, I would love for you to call and share. And today in particular, because the more you have to say, the less I have to say. So the number to call is 424-220-1801, 424-220-1801. So while I've been down with this nasty, nasty flu, I have been dealing with some personal narcissistic abuse issues from my family, and something that took me very, very much by surprise. So, you know, I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about flying monkeys, because people say to me, why do flying monkeys do what they do? Why don't they see? Why can't they understand that the person that they're representing is abusive? Why can't they see that they're taking on the agenda of somebody who is not very kind? So, yeah, you know, on the surface, that's a very good question. But what we have to remember about flying monkeys is that these are people who, for some reason, feel the need to have a purpose. There's several things. Either they need to have a purpose and stand up for something that's not their own. They are bullies, and they take on the agenda of other people and just bully others. They are needy, and so they've created some kind of attachment to the narcissist and have become vulnerable to not necessarily their suggestions, but just, you know, their agenda. Let's just say their agenda. And so what flying monkeys do is they take on the narcissist's agenda and go out and fight all their battles for them. And once they do this, they really, really believe in what they're doing. They really believe that the narcissist is right and that the narcissist is being offended and that the narcissist is being humiliated and rejected and ignored and treated horribly. And they think that it's such an injustice that they have to go out and do this. And so I have a family member that was very, very much on my side, very much on my side, and very, as far as I was concerned, very close to being healed from the abuse. And now this person has become a flying monkey. And not only has this person reached out to me in a harassing way, but this person is reaching out to strangers across the country, trying to get people to say that I am not as qualified as I am. And it's coming back at me. And while I don't get hurt over these things, because I'm well beyond that, it never fails to amaze me just how far these people will go to protect the narcissist and to harass innocent people. And, you know, it's the thing about narcissistic abuse is that it, while it never fails to amaze me, it's always so predictable. So it's kind of like this confusing thing because, yes, they all do the same thing, but when they do it, it's so mind-blowing that you just go, wait, how could that be? And I know, you know, just as well as anyone else that these things are going to happen. But my gosh, when they happen to me, I just, you know, it blows my mind. So if you're dealing with flying monkeys, understand that there's nothing that you can do. And they will go to extreme lengths to get at you. So the only thing that you can do to protect yourself from these people is to get away from them. So I've had to block this particular person. I had to warn this person that I don't wish to be harassed and that they have lost their texting privileges and now they're blocked. But there are other people around the country who are innocently being harassed by these people because they may happen to know who I am. And for that, I feel very, very bad. So I'm just hoping that it will die down. So, like I said, if you're dealing with flying monkeys, understand that there's absolutely nothing you can do about these people. You've got to block, 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 block them everywhere you possibly can. And anytime somebody tries to harass you, block them. Every angle, because they're not going to stop. You know, and I realize that this person is probably trying to figure out other ways to get to me. But I will continue to block as this person continues to try to get to me. She happens to be so angry that she can't manipulate me. And so the more I ignore it and block it, the angrier she becomes. So I just wanted to let you know that I deal with this in my own life. So when I tell you about this stuff, I'm not just telling you because I know it, because I've heard it. I'm telling you because I live it. I've lived every aspect of this crazy, crazy disorder, and my family is so, so very sick. And it's sad. But I've done everything that I can do to try to help these people, and I've given up. It's not that I've given up. I am a logical person, and so I've looked at this and decided nobody really wants to hear what I have to say, and nobody really wants to hear the truth. So I'm going to stop, and I'm going to focus on people who do want to hear the truth, and that would be you, my friends, who listen to my podcast, read my articles, read my book, and call me for counseling. So we have a caller, and let's just see what our caller has to say to us. Good morning, good afternoon, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. I enjoy listening to your podcast, and one of the things I'd like to bring up is narcissists in the workplace.
Okay, sounds
and,
good.
Because I'm telling you, I have lived it. I have been in, throughout my career, and I've really observed some really two really horrible incidents over the last year where these people are so vicious and they're hard to spot, but I know how to spot them now.
Okay, and so why don't you tell us what happened?
One of them was kind of driven into retirement because of one of these individuals who underhandedly badmouthed him to our supervisor. I'm in education, and he managed to be assigned to another grade level because she could not manipulate him. But she spoke badly of him to the principal, and he doesn't really know what was said or exactly, but we could figure it out. And so it was very, very covert. And then she managed to handpick somebody to replace him. And I just watched her. She did everything she asked. She was told to do by this other individual. And I thought, boy, if she doesn't, she's going to get hurt. So, but that's how she operates. And then in another case, it was another one where we had an older teacher who was very, very good, very, very experienced, was gaslighted to the point where she was put in a mental hospital, ended up in a mental hospital.
Oh,
and she was, she was there for 2 weeks. And then after she got out, she was fine. And she was basically driven to retire. But I watched this happen, and I just found out, just being able to recognize him, who was behind a lot of this. It's so vicious that it's amazing. These covert narcissists in these cases do seem to not get caught.
There's no way to catch them. That's the thing. Because they're so slippery, and they set up all the relationships around them in a way before they go on to attack people and create havoc in their lives. They set up relationships around them to sort of insulate themselves from any repercussions of it. So they're just, they're so, you know, I like to use the word brilliant. Brilliant doesn't necessarily have to be a good thing, because in this case it's not, but they are brilliant, you know. And, you know, if you or I would sit down and say, okay, I am going to destroy the mind of so-and-so. Let me sit down and think how I can possibly do this, how I can confuse them, how I can get them, nobody to believe that, you know, they're lied, believe that they're telling the truth, and how am I going to orchestrate all this? You know what? We'd get so upset and confused and tired, we'd have to go to sleep because it would be so overwhelming. We could never in our wildest dreams come up with these kind of things. That's what makes the narcissist so brilliant, in that it just comes to them. And we can never, ever understand this. They are extremely, extremely dangerous people. Mm-hmm, and, you know, and as I've been laying here, you know, I've had a lot of time to think about things, and I realize they probably are the most dangerous of all the mental disorders out there.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
There was one, the one in particular, I had some issues with her, but I had to set some boundaries with her, and I put it in writing, and she got off my back. I mean, she tried to do the same thing to me, but I knew her game.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, if you educate, which is actually perfect for you because you're an educator, but the more that we learn about this, the better off that we're going to be as far as our own lives and protecting ourselves, because we are bound in our lives to come across these people. And it doesn't matter, you know, how good you are, what kind of person you are, it doesn't matter. They're going to come after you. There are so many of them. And, you know, when I say that they're dangerous, they're very, very, very dangerous. So to those of you who are listening here and have a narcissist in your life and wondering if it's you or if you're making this up, let me tell you something. These are very, very, very dangerous people, and you need to get away from them. You know, and you know, what came to mind this as I've been laying here thinking about this, and, you know, I think about the no contact versus the limited contact. You know, limited contact is fine when you are trying to work through this situation and you're not really sure what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have an active narcissist in your life, I don't really see any way that you can continue a relationship with them. I would never tell anybody not to continue a relationship with a narcissist, because I think we each have to make that decision. But bottom line is, they will infect you. They will ruin you. And no matter who we are, no matter how much we know, we cannot have these people in our lives. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I've learned, with enough work I've done on this, researching, and I can spot them pretty fast now. And the only way with one of these individuals that ended up with this, putting this person in the hospital, I'd had problems with her, and it was numerous times, and I insisted that to the principal that he deal with it, or I'm taking it to the EEO for age discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this person off my back, but she was still around, and she would launch her minor attacks and comments and things like that. But she is so covert that it's amazing just what these people get away with.
I absolutely agree.
So what do we do? I think, you know, we have to learn to identify them. We have to learn to spot them early on.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's very important. So what do you do? What do you think you do if you're in a workplace with someone who is doing this and you are being threatened? What do you do?
Well, what I did was, just having been, I'm kind of an outspoken person anyway, and I mean, as far as this individual, I really never talk closely with her. And I had to pull a couple of her kids from time to time, and she just insists on one of them has to be life of the party, has to be the one in charge, but still she's harming other people. And, well, I think what you do is you have to go through, it's like the EEO. I'm an older teacher, and I have age against me, even though it does not impact my job at all. But a lot of people really don't like the idea of being around older employees, and they want them out. So, but anyway, the first thing was I notified the principal. I knew what kind of an individual she was. I knew not to confront her, because people, you can't reason with narcissists at all. And I put it in writing and explained that this was becoming stressful. This is detrimental to my health, and this must stop immediately. I gave all the facts. And so this must stop immediately, or I am going to grieve this with the EEO. So he stopped it, but still, I mean, I still had to listen to kind of side comments, but they kind of just roll off my back. But I'm telling you, I have learned to recognize these individuals.
Okay. Well, what if you're in a company that's smaller and you don't have, you know, a larger organization or any kind of hierarchy system, administrative system or anything like that to go to? I mean, you almost have no say because chances are that, you know, and I write, there's a whole chapter in my book about, you know, narcissists in the workplace or narcissism in the workplace.
Yeah.
And, you know, considering that they set up the scenario with the boss or the owner of the company or whatever, CEO or whatever it is, before they begin this campaign of attack, sometimes you really don't have any way around this. I mean, if you go to them, they've already made you look crazy.
I think the best thing you can do is to look for another job if
right.
it's really becoming unbearable. And one of the things that she did was we had a meeting, several of us, on whether to double promote a child who, and we had the paperwork. And she worked with him, and she just managed to sway other people into thinking her, going along with her. So we had to take a vote, and this really damaged the child and the family in the end.
Oh.
So that this is how, when I look back on it, I feel like, gee, what should I have done about this?
Mm.
Wish I'd handled it differently.
Do you think that you really could have? I mean,
sometimes I do.
You think you could have?
Yes, I really do. What I would have done was, at that time when I was dealing with the with that particular family, this was before she launched one of her the major attack against me. What I would have done now, if this ever comes up again, I would talk to the parents ahead of time and just say, "This is what this is who I'm up against." And if the outcome is not what you're satisfied with, you have to appeal it.
Mm. Okay.
That's what I would do next time. I regret this. This happened a couple of years ago, and I was just I think back, gee. That really affected somebody because of this narcissist who had to be right.
Well, so sorry
that happened
to a child. I really am. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so this person just it's amazing what these people get away with. But with this one, I think the other one I'd mentioned who had driven him into retirement, he was a retired veteran, and he just would not go along with what she wanted to do. She would just be very, 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 very manipulative and then take this back to the principal, take the information back to the principal and twist it around. And it really, and some people really internalize this kind of abuse. And
well, of course
so he
they
just
do.
Decided
yeah.
to retire.
Mm-hmm.
He really internalized it, and that's the worst part of it. And he didn't defend himself too well. But I had a couple of encounters with her on a couple of things, and I called her out on it, and I told her she could not run my program. And this is one of the things I learned later on, what narcissists do. They like to... They want you to feel sorry for them. Others feel sorry for them. So you get the poor me. Oh, I'm so sorry I did this. I agonized all night long about this. I'm so sorry. And then within days, right back to the same thing again. They don't change.
No, they don't change because it's not a sincere thing, because it's just a manipulation tactic.
And I
tried
to
deflect.
Point where, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And I think back, gee, this is all a game. It was all manipulation. And she had a lot of clout. in the community, and so she did some vicious things, and those who had to deal with her tried to find another grade level or move on. Because she was so manipulative and so covert.
You know, if the thing about it is, if you are being attacked by these people, in most cases you don't know what you're being attacked by because you don't have any experience with narcissism.
I know.
And generally, it can really take you down because they destroy you at the very core of who you are. They go for that. And I know the attack that I've been receiving this week is, you know, who are you? Why are you so cruel? Why are you so vindictive? Why are you so mean? You know, what made you this way? I mean, these crazy, crazy things that are, I mean, if you know me and you know what I stand for, you understand that's not at all who I am. But it's the devil speaking to you, saying these things to try to disarm you, and they won't stop, you know. So, you know, fortunately, I just look at it and I go, wow, that's so crazy, you know. But I'm afraid if I look at it too long, I may start to believe it because that's how powerful it can be. So I have to look away. And so to everyone out there who are dealing with very similar things, it is just lies. They're just telling you lies. So this is, I'm talking about someone who has known me my entire life, who has adored me, loved me always since the day I was born, who would have done anything for me. And now this person has gotten under the spell of the narcissist, and all of a sudden I've become the devil. So this is very serious stuff.
Oh, yes. And I think that really about the key thing, I think from very young, we have to learn how to identify these people. That's about the only way, and then set really, really strong boundaries. And you have to be very direct. I mean, when I've had to deal with them in the workplace because of work-related tasks, the only way you can talk to them is to be very, very direct. Very direct. And then move on. Then gray rocket if you have to.
Right. Right, exactly. And, you know, that term gray rock, I think it's been used by another author who created it. But it's the same thing, you know, like I say, where you basically give them no emotion whatsoever, no inflection in your voice, no eye contact, nothing. You treat them as if they are a gray rock. And that's the only way to deal with a narcissist. And some people have trouble understanding that because most of the time people who are targeted by narcissists are very, very good, kind people, really nice, kind people.
They're good at their jobs.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. And these are people who don't like to lie. They don't like to be anyone that they're not. But when you're dealing with a narcissist, you cannot just go with your instincts because your instincts will be all wrong.
Oh, yeah, I know. And so I think it's just knowing how to identify them early on. I mean, there's signs there. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Quinn Holiday?
No.
He's pretty knowledgeable about this. And he said one of the things he points out is that we don't realize that often we're tampering with the evidence. And
wow.
I think that you think about it, but you have to learn. You have to be able to identify them, and just setting these boundaries, immediately what you won't tolerate early on with them.
Right.
But still, the narcissists are so manipulative that their egos are so fragile that they. This will not. They will stop at nothing. This, you know, it's the other think caller mentioned or the one whose letter you read. They stop at nothing.
Right. They stop at nothing. And, you know, and if you would talk to someone who is in the middle of narcissistic abuse, you can actually see the confusion in the person's eyes. You can see the confusion swimming around their head because they take away your ability to think clearly. And that's why it's just so hard to deal with these people because, and I always say, you can't think your way out of this because they disarm your ability to think logically. So you can't, you have got to, you've got to, like you say, recognize these people, understand what's going on, but you cannot put yourself through it. No one is strong enough to be able to have a relationship with a narcissist. No one.
Oh, no. And it's amazing. And then the one who was ended up in the hospital, she was such a good friend of mine, and I went for what she was saying, and she was just almost hearing things. And, like, people were talking about her, and she would overhear these conversations, and it just sent her over the edge. And then I found out later who was behind it.
Well,
because she was a very good colleague, and many years of teaching, and she wasn't ready to retire yet either. But they drove her to it. This narcissist behind it.
It's criminal.
Would set her up so she would hear things like overhear conversations,
right.
And it just put her in almost a paranoid state.
Right.
And then finally, an ambulance had to take her to the hospital.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know.
So this is how dangerous these people are.
They are dangerous. And, you know, without really going into what's, you know, been happening here with me, this person has reached out to other professionals in this field. And one of these professionals has actually said to me, I'm really thinking about giving up counseling people in this field because I can't take this anymore from these people. So, yes, no matter how much you know, no matter how educated you are, they can just, it's impossible to deal with these people. And so to my listeners, I want you to understand that this is really, really serious. And, you know, I wrote my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind.
I've read it.
The book educates you from just the very, very beginning on who these people are. I want you to know who they are. I want you to be able to recognize who they are in every possible kind of relationship because you will encounter these people in your lifetime. And
you will.
Yes, and it's better that you understand what you're dealing with because you will never, ever believe this until you see it.
Well, I grew up, my mother had narcissistic traits. I don't know how full-blown she was, but she was very much, she definitely fell into this category, too. And I had a very difficult time at times. I had difficult times dealing with it. I mean, I think you've mentioned you've dealt with had a narcissistic mother, too.
Oh, yeah.
And we're confused. We don't know what it is. You know, we're as kids, we didn't know what it was.
No. It took me many years, and I find that, you know, people usually wake up to this. If they've been abused in childhood, they usually wake up to it in their 40s or 50s. It usually takes that long before it begins to gel. And the victim begins to realize that something is so painful in their life that they've got to figure it out. And that's when they begin seeking. But it can take years and years. You can't see this. It is done to you in a way.
Yeah, it feels very covert, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think my dad even saw any of it.
Right. And they come off very innocent to everyone else. They're very, you know, everyone else loves them. They're very charitable people. You know, oh my gosh, they give to the community. They get involved in their, you know, in their churches and synagogues. And they are just the salt of the earth in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody would ever, ever know. And behind closed doors, well, they're monsters.
Well, I've gotten to the point, too, where I've learned to, when somebody seems to be the life of the party all the time, that's a red flag for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I'm not impressed with them anymore.
Right.
I think these are people you have to watch out for.
Yep.
And so I've kind of, I've learned to, this has been a learning, this has been quite a journey dealing with this, but I'm telling you, we need to start educating kids on this, on how to recognize them. It goes beyond bullying.
That's true. That is true. And, you know, maybe we can team up and try to come up with some kind of, I know you're in another country.
Maybe
we can come up with some kind of program that I can go around and present here in the United States and sort of start to help these children on that kind of level. I think that might be very, very helpful.
I do that. That's part of my curriculum. I've spoken to you about that, and I think it's important. And I start with, kids are very, very young with this.
How do you start with this?
Well, I think that I'm a believer in, I tell you, the classics do very well with this. The ones that are often banned and challenged address it very well. And with the younger kids, I start with age-appropriate stuff. Like, for example, The Ugly Duckling, classics like that that help them recognize individuals that are toxic.
Okay.
And movies, age appropriate movies like The Lion King, Uncle Scar. That's a good one.
Right.
That's one I recommend for kids to introduce this and to introduce that. That's an age appropriate one, and that one we talked about this before. You know, remember Eddie Haskell and Leave It to Beaver?
Yes.
And those are so obvious. And wow, what a gaslighter!
Wow. So I know you're right.
But I think this is where we have to. We don't have it in our counseling programs. They're not ready for that yet. School counselors don't know how to do it.
No, they don't know how to do it. They don't recognize it, and they're very easily duped.
Oh, gosh, yes. I don't even work with them. I don't even ask them to do their job. So my son, when he was
in middle school, he was bullied mercilessly. And he was a little guy, and it was one of the neighborhood boys that just kind of rallied all these kids against him. And they were singing songs about him being gay on the bus and all kinds of things, and it's just all horrible. And I went to the school administration, and I said, what are you going to do about this? My son can't go to school. Well, this is what I found to be so unbelievable. The boy who was causing all this problem had been elected the peer mediator for the school, for the guidance counselor. He was the one conducting peer mediating groups.
Oh my God.
So he had the whole school believing that he was this amazing kid. And meanwhile, he was the one causing all the problems. So I couldn't get anything done. And my son was getting to the point where he was coming home and saying, Mom, I'm going to hurt him. And I thought to myself, he's going to hurt him. My son's going to get in trouble. And the other kid's going to not have any accountability for this. And so I pulled him out and put him in private school. It was the only thing that I could do. But yes, they're very insidious. They get in, and it's hard to convince people of who these people truly are. It's very scary.
Well, one of the things that, and when I work with the younger kids, work with the kids too, I encourage them to ask questions. So if somebody's trying to manipulate you, or you ask questions, and if they can't answer them or are not willing to, then that's a red flag.
Okay.
So this is for example, in the movie The Lion King, where the whole group of hyenas was duped. The backing them up with promises of food, never going hungry again. Well, a question could be, well, how are you going to get the food?
Wow.
So you teach them to ask questions, and they find they can get answers, just, you know, by asking questions, sometimes unanswered questions. They can figure it out.
That's very, very cool. So, all right, we are running out of time for today. I really thank you for calling
in.
I
always enjoy your podcast. But I really like this discussion of this workplace. And I think that the EEO it needs to be aware of this and start conducting workshops on how to recognize these people in the workplace. This should become an EEO issue, but it'll take a long time, but we have to start somewhere.
Absolutely, and thank you for the work that you're doing, and for sharing it
with my
listeners. Oh, you are so very welcome. This is important stuff. So until next month, thank you so much for calling in and taking some of the so I don't have to talk so much today.
I am American. I'm a federal employee, so I'm paid U.S. dollars. It's like a job in the States, except it's with on a military base in Germany.
Terrific. So, well, thank you. Thank you for your work.
Yeah.
We'll keep this discussion going. We are running out of time.
Yes.
But thank you for calling in. I so appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, and enjoy your month, and I'll see you next month.
Okay. So we are out of time for today. Bye. But if you have any comments or questions about today's show,
bye.
You can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. And I'll be back the second Friday of March. And if you haven't gotten your flu shot, oh my gosh, and you still can, like I said, I don't believe in them, but after experiencing this, I'll never go without a flu shot again. Even if it's not even the right strain, at least maybe it could have reduced some of it. So anyway, that's my final word. I really wish you joy and serenity in your life. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.